going on out there, everybody? And thanks so much for joining us here today on this Thanksgiving week episode of Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and sitting next to me is the world's biggest turkey, Kyle Fils.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. It is Thanksgiving Day week. I hope everybody out there is driving and traveling safe. I know a lot of people are going to be flying and driving around. My brother, they're heading to like Florida to go to like Disney World. They're leaving on Thanksgiving. He's an insane person. I would never do that voluntarily.
It's completely crazy.
But I know a lot of people are out there traveling, so we're glad to have your ear.
Yeah.
You can turn us up. You and your family can enjoy some strange and bizarre stories with your friends and your brood and your pals, Kyle and Cam. Not only is it Thanksgiving Day this week, but it's also Thanksgiving actually falls on Little Fizzy's birthday.
Word.
November 24th is his actual birthday. And then your birthday is November 26th.
So that's right.
You got a birthday too.
I'm going to be sliding in there, getting one step closer to the 5-0, baby.
While you're enjoying your turkey, this is if you're American, of course. If you're in other parts of the world, I know we have lots of listeners all over. Just if you're enjoying your meal. But on November 24th, don't forget this is the 51st anniversary of D.B. Cooper. That's right. November 24th, 1971. One of the strangest mysteries that still remains unsolved. I still love it. I just saw the other day where I had guys come forward with somebody, of course, he knows is D.B. Cooper, right? He can tie this whole in with a tie and this titanium engineering and things like this. But, you know, maybe it is, maybe it's not. This is the same thing, though, that's been said for, 51 years, right? There's always these stories where it was my uncle and then Chael Sonnen knows the guy.
Yep,
and then it's always something. But that's what makes it so cool. Is the guy, just like in a spy movie, actually pulled one over on the government and got away with it?
Yeah. And there's theories that it might not just be a guy, it might be a gal.
Could be, yep.
There are so many theories, man. I don't know that they'll ever solve it. I think the water's too muddy.
I think it's gone, and too much has gone by by now, right?
Too much time. If they had DNA, like something that they could find that could link with solid proof that this person was on the plane at the exact time D.B. Cooper was and nobody else got off, right? You'd be like, yeah, okay. But now I think it's too far gone.
Well, that's another thing that's strange is some of the evidence that they did have has gone missing, like the cigarette butts and stuff like that. All that's gone.
It was an inside job, man.
Some people claim that it was.
I think so.
Right? Very cool. Now, some people don't even know that he was able to spend the money. Like, they found some of it on the river, remember?
Yeah.
He might have lost it all. But I don't even know that he ever did it intently wanting to keep the money because it was only $200,000. It wasn't like he stole $200 million. I mean, I think he did it because he knew he could do it. He obviously had an understanding of skydiving, obviously had an understanding of the Boeing aircraft and that it could fly with the rear stairs down. If you're interested in D.B. Cooper stuff, you can always go back. We've done two episodes on D.B. Cooper. You can go back on YouTube or just back through our catalog, or you can check out our friend The Cooper Vortex, which is another amazing podcast that deals only with D.B. Cooper.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting show. But speaking of interesting shows, I finally finished the Apocalypse, Ancient Apocalypse with Graham Hancock.
Nice.
It's very, very interesting. I heard it's doing very well. I heard it's the number two show on Netflix.
Nice.
So it seems
I'm glad it's getting a little shine.
I'm saying, I think a lot of people are interested in the younger Dryas and things like that. And I'm glad because it's just dumb to walk through life and not look at the possibilities of what could have happened before us.
Well, right? What I like too is this could easily be sparking young people's brains right now to be like, I'm going to go back to college or I'm going to go to college and go on to higher learning and change it. Or I'm going to get involved and make this my point. And hopefully this will start being more accepted.
I agree.
And I think that would be great. If we can get it more accepted and more commonplace, then and more people will go into it and maybe we'll learn more. Maybe we can get more funding and we can find more cool stuff.
I agree. check this out, folks. This is a very cool story that happened just before I was born.
Ooh.
The person writing in says, in July 1976, a friend and I, who is now a dentist and a no-nonsense kind of guy, were cruising between Lincoln and Auburn, California, on a quiet country road. We drove over the top of a hilly road, and we were descending. That's when I noticed a bright, bluish-white light shining down on the road about 200 yards in front of us. It was coming from a point over a large group of scrub oak trees. The trees came to a point over the road, creating a canopy effect over the road. What was strange is there were no street lights, and none of the light shining down on the road was being blocked out by the trees. As we approached the light, my car began to sputter and lost power. Then the headlights went out. As we were approaching the light, I was flashing my bright lights on and off before the car finally shut down. As soon as the car rolled to a stop, I opened the door to step out. The light disappeared. While leaves were floating down below where the light had been falling onto the road just in front of us. During July in the Sacramento Valley, it's about 80 degrees with little to no wind. It gets very hot here in the summer. The thing that really shocked me was 4 days later, we took two of our cats to the vet's, which was about 3 miles out of town. When the vet drove up, he was acting confused and was excited and was stuttering, which is what he did whenever he got excited. He said he'd been called out to a ranch to look at a dead cow. He explained to me that that the cow had been cut up in a very strange way, with a missing eyeball, udder, and entrails. Its hindquarters had been drilled or bored out. He also said there were no flies, no bugs, and no predator bite marks anywhere on the cow. The cow was located 50 yards from the very spot that we saw the lights over the trees. My doctor friend said his mother was upset with him for getting home so late the night we saw these lights. However, we were only out there in the country for about an hour and a half. He claims that it was 4 a.m. when we got home. After dropping him off that night, I was really tired and I just went home and went to bed. I didn't even look or pay attention to what time it was. He claims that that night when we saw those lights, we lost 3 hours. Now, to this day, I have no idea what we saw or what happened. He refuses to talk about it with me or anyone else. I have seen other lights and strange things over the years, but this situation has always made me scratch my head, and I wonder what really happened that night to us and to that poor cow. Nothing was ever said to the police or to the news media regarding the mutilated cow or the lights that we saw. After years of hearing about alien abductions and cow mutilations, I believe we may have been part of something that cannot be explained with science or rational thought. My interest in UFOs has been very strong for years, and I'm sure that there are other things going on around us that we cannot explain, or we make sense of them because we're not allowed to by those conducting such intrusive examinations of humans and animals. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I can remember it like it happened yesterday. We were not drinking, smoking, or doing any drugs, as my doctor friend was always against such activities due to his medical training and personal beliefs. On the other hand, I know something happened beyond the norm and will take it to my grave as a real and unexplained experience. Thanks, MR. Very spooky.
MR, you sound like you're hanging out with a square.
Well,
no drinking and no drugs with your square doctor friend.
Yeah, but they were abducted by aliens. So maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's why they were selected. They want to inspect pure virgin organs, right? Where if you're messing up your liver and lungs, they're like, nah.
Safe.
Yeah, I'm safe.
Safe.
Right? I'm safe too. So maybe that's it. Maybe they were selected because they just were going down that particular road at that time. Or like I said, maybe they have some kind of supersonic screening mechanism that they can use.
But also like, too, that they went to bed. Like, I'm just exhausted. I'm beat from this whole thing. You know what I mean?
I get that.
You kind of wore out. Like, that's a thing. That's like a theme where everybody, you know, like we talked about when they find them missing in the woods. You find these, it's like they're drained. They're exhausted from what they've gone through, but they can't remember why. And then to find out 3 hours had gone by, yikes.
Well, you hear it so many times, right? That these people, they don't remember having missing time, but they definitely experienced it.
This fits perfect for today's show. I've got one here that Lon fired off at because it was down here in Texas. So I had to share it. It actually took place down in Austin, folks. Listen to this. It says, in early 2019, one of my older cousins and I were standing outside of my house here in Austin, Texas. He was having a cigarette. There we go again, Philly, with the cigarette.
Yeah.
It was about 9 p.m. and we'd pretty much run out of things to talk about. So I opted for just looking into the night sky and gazing for the Big Dipper, it being the only star I could typically spot right away. So as I'm looking up, I noticed a dark silhouette about 10 feet from the top of my house. I live in a two-story home, so 10 foot from my roof is pretty high up, yet still close enough for me to still see. And I could vividly see that it was the shape of a human being, or a human-like being, flying from above my home to over across the street and just out of sight. It moved smoothly across the sky, not too fast, just at a glide. I stared in disbelief, unable to speak. Long after it vanished behind my neighbor's home, I still looked in its direction, trying to understand what had just happened. Well, when I finally was able to gather my thoughts enough to talk, I turned to my cousin, who was also looking into the sky, and said, "Let's go inside." He put out his cigarette. We both walked into the house and sat in silence for about another 5 or 10 minutes. The silence was broken by the sound of my cousin taking in a deep breath before asking me, "Did you see something flying outside?" Before he could finish, I burst out into rapid sentences about what I had saw. Before I knew it, we were both going back and forth, barely letting either get a word out. We decided that what we saw was real and it really did happen. That's not the most frightening part, though. Several weeks later, I stumbled across a television show on Destination America entitled Monsters and Mysteries in America. The episode I watched turned out to be based on sightings in Austin, Texas. I couldn't believe it. The episode was about flying humanoids being spotted here in our city. It confirmed for me that what I saw was actually real and that I hadn't been one of the only ones who had just spotted it. I still look to the sky on most nights. I know they're still out there. See. So, found it on TV. I mean, and it's one of those things because it's getting to be more and more common. But this whole deal here, something crazy flying around through the sky, some kind of wild humanoid making its rounds up there. This, and like we said, we've reported on, this isn't the first one that we've heard. I don't know why Austin is one of them now, but of course we all know it's Chicago getting overran by it. Now it's like there's just big perches and dens. I picture like the Lost Boys when they're in the cave by the ocean.
Yeah.
So they come flying out full of winged humanoids anyway, at least in my story. So that's it. What you got for me, homie?
Oh, nothing. I was just looking.
Oh, check it out. I'm going to share this with y'all too because it is this season real quick. Listen to this about a marauding Bigfoot. Says, my encounter happened on March 15th, 2019 in the Bighorn Mountain Range in Wyoming. It happened in a place here that people call Lost Cabin Range. I was on a hunting trip with my friend John. We were both 27 at the time, and he had gotten a bull elk tag from the draw that year. So we drove around all day looking for the elk and only saw one cow that had fallen out of the herd when they moved on through. So it was starting to get dark. We headed to set up camp for the night. And as I was hammering the tent stakes in, me and my buddy heard what sounded like a woman screaming. And I mean, it sounded like someone was being killed out in those woods. So of course, when we heard that, we dropped everything we were doing and started looking around to see if we could find this woman. Well, we were just about to give up looking when my buddy tapped me on the shoulder and handed me my binoculars. He pointed at the top of the ridgeline closest to us. I grabbed the binos and looked up at the ridge and about ruined my pants. It looked like a man walking up the side, one foot in front of the other. But this man had hair. Now, I just thought it was a bear and didn't think much of it because it was moving away from our campsite. So we finished setting it up and went to bed. At about 1 a.m, I woke up to some rustling out by my truck. Oh, yeah. By the way, my cooler was in the back of the truck, and we had planned to stay out here for about a week. But as I was saying, I heard something rustling around near my truck. I just thought that it was my buddy. Maybe he was out getting something ready for the next day, or maybe he was just out getting a drink. I don't know. But then I looked over at his cot. He still passed out asleep, so I woke him up. We decided to stay in the tent until whatever it was out there went away. I'm going to stop telling that right now and be like, look, if there's something out there, don't wake me up, okay?
Yeah.
You just worry about it on your own unless it becomes a thing. Don't make it a thing, all right? It says, we listened as this creature threw our cooler out of the back of the truck. Now, after about 10 minutes of listening to this, I finally got fed up with what was going on, so I grabbed my rifle. At this point, both of us were active duty military, and I left the tent from the back so as not to run right out in the front and scare this animal. I got out, made my way to the corner of the tent, flew around the corner using my training, and turned on the mounted flashlight. The second I turned the light on, I saw this thing shoot up away from the cooler. Now, I won't lie. I've been deployed before, and I've had bullets flying all around me, but this scared me to the point that I almost dropped my rifle. I got a great look at the face during the couple-minute altercation. It had the face of a man and the feet of a man, but the body kind of looked like an oversized gorilla. It had no neck, kind of a conical head. It looked like the Bigfoot from the Patterson film. The standoff lasted about 5 minutes, and this thing dropped on all fours and ran so fast, I've never seen anything move that fast. KD. So, they saw it walking up the side of the hill.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a bear, or just maybe just wanted to believe it was a bear. And then this thing came back in and started getting into the cooler.
Well, probably because all the beers were gone. It was checking the cooler. There was nothing in there. It was coldies, mad.
Right?
So it threw the cooler. Because imagine if it preys on campers all the time. It doesn't have to be that smart. I mean, even raccoons and stuff can figure out if they see a cooler, they know that there's going to be food and treats in there.
There's something in that box.
So maybe it literally, no, not looking for beer, but just looking for food.
It's a good point. Imagine if you were as sneaky as a Sasquatch, right? Like, yeah, let's say the super sneaky, super stealthy. You could slip in there and open the cooler and get out what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then leave it open. The raccoons are going to show up then. Everything else. And then they're going to muck up anything that you might have left behind for them, any kind of proof or evidence that you were there, is going to be destroyed in the crime scene by the raccoons.
For all you know, the Sasquatch is friends with the raccoons.
Brings them like, up there with them.
Go in there first, and then we'll clean up after.
That's right. Yeah. Like, y'all ready? I'm going to open it up. Everybody grab something.
Right. And then you make all the noise while I get away, and they'll just think it was y'all.
Because they're not going to hurt y'all. They want to find me. I think they're working in unison.
Right.
I'm with it.
It's just 100%. As good as a theory as any others.
They're all working in unison. The whole thing. It's just like, what is it? The movie Over the Hedge. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
With the turtle and the fox and all. That's what we're going with right there. Folks, let's take a quick break. When we get back on the other side of this break, I'm going to be discussing some more, you can call them time slips or glitches or just, I don't know, crossovers, the rubbing of timelines, whatever you want to call it. We have some more of that oddity coming up. I hope you enjoy it. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Y'all, here we go. I was discussing with a friend the other day. We were talking about deja vu, and it got me off thinking about on this topic, I guess. Time slips, just like glitches. Like we've talked about when people report seeing pterosaurs. Could it be a glitch, right? Like when you report seeing certain things, that dinosaurs or even, let's see, like mammoths or, I mean, any of it. It could be in any realm like we've discussed. It could be any of these overlapping, overshooting timelines and different planes of existence. All of this stuff could be there. Maybe that would be an explanation of what is coming through and how it's coming through. And then it could also be an explanation of us having these time slips, these glitches, or even these deja vu moments. I don't know, right? I don't know. But I did find some interesting ones that seems to be, and I guess you could even say it's part of, like we've discussed, are you living in a simulation? Is this the Matrix? What is this that we're actually living in? Is it something generated? Who knows, right? It just makes it more and more weird and more strange when these type of occurrences happen. It makes me feel like time travel's a thing and like it's already been invented and we're, you know, years behind it and been in the future. It's already done. And maybe that's what's happening. And then that's what's offset these things or who knows, right? there's all these theories about different things that have been turned on and different inventions that we've done that could have disrupted the timeline and caused it to offshoot, which would explain the Mandela effect, would explain lots of things where people remember things a certain way and others do not. Maybe that's what all this part of. And some of these stories, it definitely seems this way. This one starts, Finn writes, 3 years ago, on my last trip back to the United States, I'm an American who lives in Japan. This is before COVID. I went to a big family reunion in the mountains. Now, the family's been doing it since the 50s, long before I was born. Now, we all rent cabins and kind of take over this cabin rental place and wander around between them, hanging out and catching up and just having a good time. Anyway, my wife and I arrived and went to my aunt and uncle's cabin to see them and my cousins. And when we got there, only my aunt and uncle were there. My cousins and their wives and children, well, were all out playing on the lake or just out walking around. My eldest cousin and his wife were out on the lake doing some paddle boarding. My cousin's wife had requested some stuff from Japan, which we had brought over here to give to her. So my aunt offered me a beer, because this is late in the afternoon, and of course I accepted. And then she and my wife and I just chatted in the little dining room area, hanging out. Now, my back was to the window that looked toward the lake. And to my right, directly behind me, was the back door of the cabin, which is what we usually use anyway because it's by the parking spots. And it has a deck to put things like inflatable rafts and stuff for the kids to play on in the lake. That's where we store it all. Easy place to keep it. So we're chatting. My cousin's wife comes in the door and walks behind me toward the bedrooms and the bathroom. She doesn't acknowledge us, but I stop her as I see her pass me, walking through the living room. She stops right before me, turning into the back hallway where the bedrooms are. "Oh, there you are. I have the Japan stuff you asked for." She turns and says, "Okay, but can it wait until I use the bathroom? I really need to." I said, "Of course." She turned and went back to the back of the cabin, and 2 seconds later, she comes in from the back door again. I said, "Did you forget something?" "No, I just got here." "No, I know, but you said you were going to the bathroom, and then I didn't see you go back outside." Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom now. I just got here." "No, I mean you got back. You walked back toward the bathroom. I stopped to tell you I had your stuff, and you said I could give it to you after you used the bathroom." "No, I didn't. I literally just got here. I have to use the restroom, so can we do this after that?" After she got back, I went through it again, and she thought, or I thought, that she was just messing with me. I couldn't figure out how she could have possibly made it back outside that fast without me noticing. She would have had to run through the living room right next to me, run right behind me between where I was leaning against the high counter and the dining room chairs behind me, go back outside without making a sound, and then nonchalantly saunter up onto the deck and through the door and then tell me she really needs to go to the restroom so we can do this later. I kept insisting this happened and laughing and telling her to cut it out. And she was laughing at first as well, but because she thought I was messing with her, eventually her face dropped to a really serious expression and she said, "Dude, you're starting to freak me out. Are you okay?" Now, I should note that she's a clinical psychologist, so she was starting to worry I was beginning to suffer a psychotic break. I said, "Over the course of the weekend, I pressed it many more times because I'm certain we had that conversation. I was not drunk. I was not jet lagged. I'd been in the U.S. for a week by this time. And in the middle of the day, she was wearing exactly the same clothes, even though I hadn't seen her at all this trip. How could I imagine her with the exact appearance she really had on that day?" But here's another weird thing. My wife was standing next to me. I was talking to my aunt. My uncle was right behind her cooking. None of them remember her coming in or talking to her, or me, I'm rather, talking to her, even though I did it mid-conversation with my aunt. Given all of that, I simply have to conclude that this is truly spooky paranormal event, a time or dimension slip or something, astral projection, I do not know. Maybe she was just thinking of how badly she needed to use the restroom, and I was thinking that I really wanted to give her her presence, and our consciousnesses met somewhere in the middle. I don't know, but what I do know is that it happened. Thanks, Finn. Folks, what do you make of that? Just, is it a projection of your conscious self? And maybe someone, I've always read, and I don't know, I don't know anything about it, but this whole astral projection thing, that you had to be focusing on it. You had to be consciously aware of your intent, right? You had to get into that zone as this is what you're trying to do, and this is the path you're going to take. How could you do that? How could you shift your consciousness so smoothly if you were in mid-conversation with a loved one that you had not seen in a long period of time? I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying, how would that happen? And then I've had to go to the bathroom really, really bad before. I think we all have at one point or another. If you're listening to this, you've had one of those experiences, right? And yes, they can be out of body at us in a sort, but could you project that? Like, we've all done it, but nobody's ever said this projection. This feels like a little shift, right? Like maybe that glitch. She glitched without realizing it. Maybe this person just so happened to be in this right spot with the glitch, like the black cat in the Matrix, right? But there's never proof. We always say that it's always like your experience. That's what you bring with you, is your experience. It vanishes like when you're trying to grab smoke. It's gone. But I found a story from 1973 in the UK from a fella named Mr. Squirrel, but Mr. S. He talked about going into an envelope shop. This is in 1973. Walks, and I guess they have all of the, what are they, all the postage stuff, and what am I trying to think of, where they have all the writing things, right? Like, I didn't have any of that, but I know some people, they love to have all this. So there were shops for it back in the day. And in there, he bought some envelopes, picked him some up, and spoke to a woman, which he noted, the woman that helped him out behind the register, or behind the counter, rather, was dressed very, he says, Edwardian. Very steampunk-esque, right? Like, we're talking back in the day. And it would probably be, it's out of place now. It would be very out of place in 73, but it would probably be less out of place now than it would have been in 1973. But, maybe that was what the shop was doing. So he got it, no big deal. So the next day he's like, I'm going to go back there one time. I'm going to go back there again tomorrow. So next day he gets up, he slides up there. He can't really find it. So that's it. But it doesn't look quite like the same. So maybe he just didn't pay any attention. He goes in, the entire shop is different. Nothing in there is the same. So he asks one of the employees, there was an elderly woman there at the counter, asks about this strange woman and how she was dressed and what he bought here and all that. And she said, No, I don't recall anyone that works, that was dressed like that, or anyone that works like that here. Nothing. And they were both kind of left as a mystery. Did a little digging into the fact of the envelopes that he had bought the day before in said store. And apparently they had been discontinued for quite some time. Out of business, this company that made these letterheads or whatnot, out of business for over 10 years. Yet he bought them from a strange employee the day before in that shop. So is it a time slip? Is it something that was just some old stock? Who knows, right? Like, who knows? But this is the first time I found proof, or at least a story that discussed proof of having it. Now, if you notice, it doesn't really prove anything, sadly. It as bad as I want it to. 10-year-old envelopes, it's not a mystery. Right? Like, it's not mind-blowing that there may be an old box. At the archery shop I worked at, I could pull out sets of packaged archery sights still in the package when I was up there, and I hadn't been there for 17 years, And I could go in there and they were still some packaged in there. That doesn't prove that there was a time slip if I pulled one out and said I bought one of these in a shop that doesn't exist anymore. No, and just proves that people were good at hanging on to stuff. But that's not to say that Mr. Squirrel or Mr. S, whoever in 73, didn't buy one. We're not saying that. Just saying that this, because of the date, it'd be different if he had bought them and it was something and from like the 1820s, right? You'd be like, wait a second, what? Why do they look so good? Everything tests out. You're like, that's the only way it could have done it. That's not what they were saying. So we jump into a young lady named Susan Smith. She has an interesting case. In her early 20s, looking for a job, she just wanted a part-time job, right? She wanted to make a little extra scratch. No shame in that. Hard work always pays off. So she's looking around. She finally finds one, something that she never dreamed of seeing herself doing. She was going to deliver pizza for Domino's Pizza. Yeah, avoiding the noid, right? Now, her parents, and probably her father especially, like any other good father, was worried that his daughter, something might happen to her. You're going to be going up to strange houses. You're going to be going to these strange areas. I don't like that. You know, I'm going to be supportive, but I don't like that. This just makes me uneasy. Well, and he had good reason, because something kind of crazy happened. So she recalls that one time they had received an order at the store, right? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to order up some pizza. And this night is, of course, rainy. It's dark. You can only imagine that's the way these things work, right? So she's going to deliver it. So Susan's like, okay, it's not that far away. Boom, I'm going to grab the pizza, throw it in my pizza bag, hit the car. Here we go. She says as she got close, she realized that she couldn't find the street. Now, the rain's heavy, of course, so she says it's dark. It's hard to see. Can't find it, right? Like, I don't know where it is. Drives around a little bit more. A few minutes, she's beginning to get a little anxious. Boom, she sees it, right? She's found it. So she sees this little small dirt road. So she turns onto it and she can see this house off in the distance. Now, of course, the mud on the driveway is all that. So she's sliding around a little bit on this driveway down in there, which you could understand. People didn't want to get out in it. Rather them driving it, let's make some poor 20-year-old drive in it, right? So anyhow, they get close. She gets close with the pizza. It's a big, large house. Lights are on in the second floor. She stops. The rain kind of lets up. She hops out. She grabs a pizza, goes to the door. She knocks on the door. She said it doesn't look like it's been real taken care of. It's a little ran down, which we hear a lot of, you know, when we're talking about these time-traveling houses, right? So she's like, it's got to have been beautiful. You don't want to boom, 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 boom. Nothing. No, nobody answers. She backs up. She can see people on the second floor. So she goes back. She knocks, knocks. Nothing. Takes out her phone. She calls the number that she's got, right? This number's not in service. So now she's getting a little worried. Now she's like, wait a second. This is turning not cool. So she jumps back in the car, a little upset, a little scared, right? Turns around to leave, and she notices another large building a few hundred yards away. So she immediately gets this cold shiver. She can tell it's a slaughterhouse. That's what she sees, is an old slaughterhouse. So she takes off down the mud, right? She's slipping and sliding, bahaing down through there, sliding it on. She's done. She don't even go to the store. She goes straight to her house. She's freaked out. So she gets home. She tells her dad, this is what happened. This is what just happened to me, the whole thing. Now, she grew up in this town. Her family had lived in their whole life. Okay. They don't recall anything like that being in this town. Nothing. None of this. So the dad's like, hey, look, I'll tell you what, you and I'll go with you. We'll go out there tomorrow in the daylight. We'll look to see what was out there just to make sure what's going on. So she's like, okay. So she jumps back in the car. She goes back to work. Everything's good. Tells him, you know, this is what happened. Couldn't find nobody answer. You know how the story goes. They call the number, nothing. They're like, meh, prank call, whatever happened. This is what it is. They eat the pizza, right? Happily ever after. So the next day, Susan's like, okay, we're going to try to find this spot. So Susan starts going with her dad. They're driving around. They can't hardly find it. They can't. They look. They drive up and down. Nowhere. Finally, they notice this little road. They find it, but it's nothing like what Susan saw. There's no buildings. There's no house. There's no nothing. It's just a big empty lot. and there's some old machinery. And from what they judged, it looked like a set of pins and maybe some loading docks or something out there. Old stuff from many, many years before the father can even remember. And it looks like it might have belonged at a slaughterhouse. So it sounds like Susan got a little quick, you know, I need to order a pizza from the ghost of the slaughterhouse, right? Having a big party, all of this stuff. I would be curious if she dug in to look at the history of that town and really got deep into it, if you could find some old photos. You'd be surprised at what, you know, your municipality might keep on hand as far as old photos. We have some from the day our reservoir was built and the water plant. We have some, and then we've got some from when the town was established. Every town's like this, right? Where you can see the stagecoaches and the muddy roads and all that. Well, you might be able to go back through the pictures and find that old house and all that, which is extremely interesting to me as well. I've got another one here that is, I don't even know. I'm kind of at a loss for it. I'm going to toss it out there for y'all to listen to. See what you think about this. This was posted up by a person named The Matrix. It says, back in 2013, I'm home from college at a family reunion at a lake with my parents. Now, early on in the day, my dad falls in the lake with his phone in his pocket. And this is back when phones weren't water resistant. So none of the buttons were working and the screen wasn't showing anything. Without any rice around, we just dropped it in my mom's purse. And I'm going to go ahead and speak as being a dad and being one of those fellas that have had this happen to them. I don't even know what it's like to have a water-resistant phone, right? I'm going to have to. That sounds amazing. So anyhow, and always, why's mom got to carry it? I don't know. But anyway, so it's in mom's purse, right? Now, it says, goes on here, says, several hours later, we hop in the car to get ready to leave, and we start hearing something coming from mom's purse. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, honey. Anyhow, so we pull out my dad's phone. And it's a message being played on a loop. This is what it says. It says, hey, this is my mom's name, and I'm calling to tell you that we're at the Hummingbird Festival. There was nothing inherently creepy about what was said in the voice message. It's really pretty basic, except for one little fact that none of us, including my mom, could get over. None of us had ever even heard of the Hummingbird Festival. Now, the voice on the phone was no mistake. 100% undeniably my mother's voice, introducing herself as my mother. We couldn't get the message to stop playing until it stopped on its own after about an hour. And the phone never worked after that. We have no rational explanation for what happened and have just accepted that this was some sort of glitch in this reality. So, y'all, what do you think about that? A phone. Now, we've had ghostly phone calls, right? We've discussed this with crazy ghostly phone calls and voicemails and emails, things that reached out from beyond the grave. This doesn't sound like any of this, right? This sounds like none of that. This sounds like this phone and the phone from the other timeline may have crossed frequencies. They crossed the streams in that water. What is that movie? Wasn't there an M. Night Shyamalan, The Lady in the Lake? What is the M. Night Shyamalan movie where the lady comes out of the swimming pool and there's like the big wolves? Maybe that's it. The water. Everything's with water, right? Like it's easier to cross over, like in Constantine or Stargate opens, looks like water. Maybe this is all that it is, right? As you fall in the lake with your phone, you can glitch the Matrix. That's so, heads up, y'all. Don't fall in the lake with your phone. Well, y'all might can now. I don't have one of those fancy phones that I'm aware of. Maybe I need to throw mine in there. Here's you another one. Now, this is things I have read, crazy stories of people that have seen themselves doing things, right? Seen themselves doing some strange things. This right here says, I once took a taxi with my mother and my brother, and my mother told me in my ear, leaned over and said, hey, this taxi driver looks just like your grandfather did. Now, in my mom's defense, my grandfather had died 20 years ago. So I hop out, go to pay. Family gets out and leaves. I lean over. I can't speak. I can't hardly move. I'm staring into the face of my grandfather. Not just the face, the same glasses, the same mustache, dressed how I remember him, and the same smile. Of course, it says you're paid, drove off. I have no idea if this was a glitch, if this was a time slip, if this was simply a ghost. Thank you, Lorks. So, what do y'all think? Something completely crazy like that? Could you have projected it? Right? In your mind, could your mother have planted that seed and this person looked so much like your grandfather that you projected that memory? Because maybe after he'd been passed for that long, you don't, like, I can't remember what my grandparents sounded like. I don't remember their voices. I barely remember a little bit of my grandfather's, but I struggle with my grandmother's voice, trying to remember that. So if I had had the seed planted, and maybe, you know, it is, maybe he looked just like something that you had built in your memory of your grandfather, or maybe some crazy time slip that is your grandfather in another time. But it's really not your grandfather now. It's your grandfather in this timeline, but not your grandfather in the other timeline. And I'm my own grandpa. Anyhow, this is what I was telling you one here. Mark says, I remember back in the 80s seeing myself drive in front of my own car in an identical car. I had a good look at the driver, and the driver was me. Of course I am. He's me. Same hair, same clothes, same vehicle with a scratched quarter panel on the side. I remember at the time friends saying how they waved to a guy and beeped the horn thinking it was me. I even had a conversation with a guy saying how I'd been talking to him earlier all day. It for sure wasn't me. Now, I knew at the time something wasn't right. I don't know. Time slip. I don't know. Doppelganger. Something just really strange. I have no idea. But I still think about this all the time, Mark. So, again, just like it was with the cousin that come walking in from the lake, this person sees himself driving a vehicle slightly projected ahead. Now, driving, I don't know, are you relaxed enough to project you and your vehicle, right? But then you've got friends waving and honking and talking to you, and people you know carry on a conversation. And this goes back to full circle to where these people, we've done stories of the folks in the military where one person keeps saying, you know, this is looks just like your twin and this, that, and thought you did this. The same deal. Right, where we have these people that are like two steps behind their doppelgangers as we've gone through it. And now this person sees a doppelganger. Is the doppelganger it? Is it a time slip? Is it simply a point of convergence to where two of you were in the same timeline? Right? Maybe this one knows. Maybe this one come over, your doppelganger came over in the timeline. There's just enough, just a little difference. And that doppelganger is changing things. It's going to make better in their timeline. And maybe you just haven't learned that trick yet. Right? And that would explain how very, I guess, scarce this ever happens. Very, very few reports of these true doppelgangers that people deal with. Like they're one that works at the mall and you go back over and over and over and people think you're work, but it's not you. There's some very odd things that time can do when you really start digging into it. And It freaks me out a little bit, to be honest with you, because it feels like something we should never, right? We should never dabble with, and I feel like we already have. I feel like we've already, because we can't leave things well enough alone. That's just how we do it around here, right? Like, if you're a human being, you just have to dabble. You can't leave things well enough alone. I'm going to leave you with a little quick one. This is nothing more of a glitch. Maybe. Could be an abduction, I guess you could say, but it could easily be a little glitch. Kyle and I have discussed, we've got a friend that had something like this happen, a real quick missing time where they were traveling not far enough in the amount of time where they had been gone. But this says, a few years ago, my uncles were driving on a small highway headed west into northern Montana. After a small stop in this little town, they jumped back on the road and continued heading west. But in a blink of an eye, they were suddenly driving north on the interstate toward Canada. And he said to this day, He cannot comprehend how that happened. Dan. So, he doesn't give an allotted time. He doesn't say when it happened or what the gap was happened. Just that that's when they realized, wait a minute, where are we going? Two questions I have about this whole thing. Do you report it any other thing? Did both of you experience it? Did the uncles experience the exact same thing, this whole missing time? Or was one kind of spaced out and the other one was asleep, right? And you're just tired driving. Doesn't give you the time of when that's happening. We have no idea. Does the person behind the wheel work up that road toward Canada up on the interstate somewhere? Because I have been guilty of this myself. This is speaking for me. I don't know about anyone else, but I have zoned out before and literally driven to some place. Like, say, I was going to where I used to work by my old job and not paying attention. And I have pulled down into like going to my new job, my old job, just out of habit. Right? Just certain things when you get stuck in your mind, driving to a family member's home, even after that family member has passed away, you just sometimes you're just whoop, drawn to it. Could that explain this lapse of time? You're just thinking about things and your body's on autopilot. As crazy and as dangerous as that is to sound, we all have done it and we all will do it again. It's bad, but it happens. Could that be an explanation? I do not know. I do know this. I've got more. I'm going to set on this, but I'm going to jump back and we're going to talk to Mr. Filson about this, see what he thinks about time slips, folks. Let's take a quick one. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Craziness.
I like the stories.
More craziness of stuff that's going on like that. I've got another one here that I didn't fire off at y'all. Took place in 1988 in North Carolina. There was a fellow named David Hale, matter of fact. Huh. Yep. And he was trying to find a job. All right. Now I know that a lot of these people are always driving around not knowing where they are, which almost seems to be a telltale sign of when people go to new places. Right?
Yeah.
Like if you notice, when you go to new places, you go check something new out. It's almost like, oh, I found this road. Then all of a sudden, you can never find this road again. And in fact, that's kind of what happened to David.
Right, because it always is like travelers. Yeah. They experience it more than than someone that's lived in a town their whole life. It's like always somebody from out of town.
A fresh set of eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what I've covered, one where she was delivering the pizza back in earlier. Same thing. Something's gone crazy. This kind of thing kind of happened to David, except what really made it interesting was on his way to this job interview, he ends up turning on to a dirt road. Now, mind y'all, this is 1988. We got Johnny Maps go over here. You'd have to follow maps. That's as crazy as it got, right?
Paper That's right. maps.
And if they weren't written down on there, then they just weren't on there till the map got redone, right? That's just how it went down. So Dave's driving around. He's got to try to find this spot using the map that he's got. And he finds this road and it's a dirt road. And he's like, all right, well, I'm on this dirt road. Well, coming down this dirt road, he notices that here comes a car right towards him. And it's a classic, like an old car. He dodges out of the way and this car shoots off the road. Like woof, right off the road, crashes down in there.
Jeez.
He turns around. He can't believe it, right? He's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? He gets up there to it. He checks it out. There's no car. He can't see anything from the road. There's no tracks in the road where the car was. There's no car. Nothing happened. No dust. He's like, wait a minute. I just witnessed it. Gets in the truck, drives around, finally gets back out where he's got to go. Goes to the job interview. Doesn't go well. He goes back home. He can't leave this out of his mind. So he's like, I got to go back out there. He goes back out there trying to find the road. He can never find the road. But what he does find is the bend in the road where he was, except now it's paved. The whole thing is paved because it's more modern at this time. So he stops the truck in the bend where it was, pulls off the side of the road, walks over where he saw the car go off the road, and starts going and walking around all down in this pasture.
And there's a tombstone.
There's a car. What's left of a classic car was down in there, crashed into it, just pieces down in there.
But it had been there for a long time.
A long time. So it wasn't necessarily a classic car as much as it was a car of that time.
Yeah, so there was like a glitch in the Matrix. He was seeing something that took place 40, 50 years ago.
He was on a dirt road in an unknown place. Turned out the road wasn't even dirt.
See, I love stories like that.
It's pretty wild, right?
How many times do normal people experience things like this and just aren't conscious because they didn't later find out? Like maybe you've driven down a gravel road and it wasn't gravel. You just didn't know because you never went back to go check to see if that road was now in fact paved.
Well, out of all the places that we've driven and you know, especially everybody, you know, you're hunting and you're driving off in locations like that, I could see how that would happen.
Like, how many times have you been?
You may drive by a spot and you may not even know that that old house isn't really there because it's your first time through.
And how many times have you been traveling somewhere you've never been before and you like, when you're driving, you see an old farmhouse and you're like, man, why does that look familiar? Or you ever go to a spot and you're like walking down
the
a trail
deja vu.
And you're like, dude, it's like, I know what happens. When we make this bend, there's going to be a lake right there. And then you go around there and there it is. It's like, how did I know?
One of my favorite things.
Very.
Any of the deja vu thing. I love it. One of my absolute favorite things, and the idea of old farmhouses, like the idea of it being like you being caught in a loop, almost like a little time loop of that. Maybe even the people that are in it aren't even aware that this loop even exists.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times on the show where like houses themselves feel like they have a life force. And it's like somebody can go on vacation to like, I don't know, out of state for 3 or 4 weeks and a house will be totally fine. But the same kind of thing can happen where somebody moves out and the house is abandoned for the same amount of time, the same duration of time. And it's like the thing starts falling apart. Like it knows there's no life force there no more.
It is very strange the way it's almost that. Yeah, it's almost like it needs you to continue to keep going.
Strange.
It's wild. Yeah. And like we've said too with this whole time thing, it's... I don't understand why it couldn't be. There's so much stuff that we're just now learning, especially with the new James Webb telescope, with the stuff we're learning on all of that. Like we're not, I don't think we have a firm grasp of reality. I think we just kind of agree on this reality of what it is. And then we kind of muck it up every chance we get, but it's.
Yeah. Time is all relative.
Yes.
Like when you're little and like you have summer break, it feels like summer break is so long. I remember days you're bored to death and it just seems like it's forever. And then you get older and you're like, dude, it's like 12 weeks long. It's super short.
I read a thing about that that says it's your familiarity with what you're doing. That when you are so comfortable with the daily routine of doing something over and over, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. So it makes time appear to you as to travel faster because you've done all this stuff before. All of this stuff isn't. But when you're a child, everything is so new. You're experiencing so much. All of this stuff's overwhelming, like the first time you went to the ocean, the first time. And you may not remember the first time, but the very first time you were conscious enough to create a core memory, let's say, of these interactions that you have. After that, everything becomes more mundane. And you think about it, the things that you used to really, when you were 14 years old, you'd be so excited to be able to drive everywhere that Kyle gets to drive now.
Yeah. Right. That,
but it doesn't matter. You know, now it's more of a burden. Like it starts to, and that's the reason it feels like it. Things happen.
Right.
Like
and so that's what I mean. It's, like,
it's relative.
It's relative. So like we were just talking about how long 3 months can seem. Then you can take it and you can expand it out. And we're like a life, say an 85-year-old life. You're like, man, that's forever. But when you really look at time, that's a blink of an eye. Like it's nothing. Especially like we were talking about the James Webb telescope. Like cosmically.
That's nothing.
80 years is nothing.
Truly a blink of an eye.
Nothing. So it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around like, well, this happened 300,000 years ago.
Yeah. I can't. We've established that I can think back to about the last ice age and kind of keep my mind a little bit on that. But after that is where just time, that amount of years is so much to grasp that I'm like, look, you might as well just tell me 10 billion because it's the same distance in my mind.
That's why I firmly believe like if there was an advanced civilization 500,000 years ago, there literally would be nothing left.
Nothing.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen. No. Very, Very cool. Well, it is your birthday weekend coming up. You got any big plans for your birthday?
Just I'm going to get to hang out with my granddaughter, and that's about it that I have know of. I don't know if they've got anything planned, you know, nothing big. Like we talked before, it's no big deal.
Right. We were going to Thanksgiving dinner, and then we're actually going to have like Luke's birthday party like a week later at like Urban Air or something crazy like that.
Are you cooking anything cool for Thanksgiving? You making anything to take?
I am not. I don't cook anything on Thanksgiving. I am the official turkey carver.
Oh, nice.
So every Thanksgiving.
I didn't know you had those skills.
I do. My grandmother was a butcher, and I've learned the art of butchering, not from her. From YouTube, folks. But no, I do almost always carve the turkey because for whatever reason, everybody in my family doesn't know that you can go on a service called YouTube that's 100% free and they can show you.
Learn how to do some things.
How to do almost anything you want to do, but they don't do it. So
I'm baking pies. I've got some pies I'm going to whip up.
Yeah, what kind of pie?
I'm going to do a chocolate pie. I may do a buttermilk pie. I think I'm going to do a coconut cream pie. And then I haven't 100% ruled out a sweet potato pie yet.
Mmm, tasty.
But at least on the next few days that I'm going to be. But yeah, I'm taking, I think, 3 Target together tomorrow.
Sounds good. And then are you going to start your Christmas shopping?
Absolutely not.
Oh, man, I am doing it, and I'm doing it 100% Jeff Bezos style with Amazon, baby.
Everybody just get their list and just go off the list, and
that's
it.
Dude, I don't know why anybody would want to go to the store and fight through that. My wife and them, they love Black Friday. They
My wife
forward.
Can't wait. Yes, can't wait.
I don't like people that much. There's nothing sounds worse to me than doing that.
I know what we'll be doing Black Friday.
Oh, yeah, playing D&D.
That's right.
Yeah, because everybody's wives will be out
That's
shopping.
Right. We're going to be rolling MD20s, baby.
Well, if you have any cool time dilation stories or anything spooky you just want to share with Cam and I in the audience, feel free to email the show. You can email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our fabulous sponsors. Treat yourself or the coffee lover in your life with Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off a subscription and access to a limited time holiday specials at drinktrade.com/expanded. Also, Microdose Gummies is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search online or go to microdose.com and use our code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. And Athletic Greens, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/expanded. That's athleticgreens.com/expanded. That's about all the time we have for this episode. For our American friends and families, please have a happy Thanksgiving. For everyone else, just have a good weekend. Till next week, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.